Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon series on Romans concludes this morning as we take a look at our second lesson, which was read earlier, the last verses of Romans chapter 11 and the first 8 verses of Romans chapter 12. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes this morning, you'll find those toward the bottom of page 2 in the bulletin. I'm going to begin the sermon this morning by quoting an excerpt from a poem by the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning. The excerpt of the poem reads as follows: Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. Consider her words for just a moment this morning. Earth's crammed with heaven. God comes down from heaven and touches the earth, filling it with his presence and with his glory, oftentimes in simple and ordinary places. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. At times it is easy to miss God's presence, to overlook where God is and what God is doing. Like Moses might have there in the wilderness if he hadn't been paying attention to that bush off in the distance that was on fire but not burning up. Consider the Old Testament lesson read earlier in our worship service this morning. Isaiah writes to a future people who are suffering in exile far away from Jerusalem. He reveals to them a world crammed full of heaven. He directs them all the way back to Abraham and Sarah, to one single family. One single family that God blessed, and through them blessed all nations. Isaiah goes on to promise that the wastelands of Jerusalem, devastated by foreign armies, would experience rebirth and would blossom like the Garden of Eden. Songs of sorrow, he writes, will turn to shouts of joy. God's salvation will go forth, and God's salvation will last forever. Or consider the gospel lesson I just read from Matthew chapter 16. It takes place in an area called Caesarea Philippi. Jesus had led his disciples north, far north of the Sea of Galilee. Caesarea Philippi had long been a site for worship. The ancient Canaanites had worshipped their god Baal there. The Greeks had worshipped Pan there. And it is here, in this place, where Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, declares Peter. He recognizes heaven touching earth in this carpenter's son from Nazareth. That he, Christ, is the chosen one sent from God to deliver his people. What Isaiah prophesies and what Peter confesses is what Paul writes about at the end of Romans chapter 11 and the beginning of Romans chapter 12. Paul, too, sees earth crammed with heaven, and he shares with us again today his life-transforming vision. Listen to the wonder of St. Paul as he writes at the beginning of our second lesson. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. Paul is in awe as God's salvation story fills the earth, and Paul looks forward to that day of restoration when God will bring together Jew and Gentile from every nation into his forever kingdom. And then as Romans chapter 12 begins, Paul turns his attention to those Christians living in the capital of the empire, Rome. Now, the Roman Christians would not have been glorious to the world around them. Not many of them were rich. Not many of them were powerful. They gathered together not in magnificent cathedrals to worship, but in simple house churches. Yet, as Paul looks at these Christians in Rome, he sees earth crammed with heaven. Paul sees people transformed. He writes these words, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Paul takes the language of temple sacrifice, with which they would have been very familiar, and transforms it. God's people now become sacrifices, and their life becomes their act of worship, as they worship outside of Jerusalem in those nondescript house churches. Paul knew that the sacrifice of Christ ended the need for literal sacrifice forever, and yet he appeals now on the basis of God's grace that these Christians offer themselves, their very lives, in sacrifice to God. Paul sees them and us transformed. Transformed by the power of God's grace. Transformed, changed, refashioned, repurposed, refocused on Christ. The language that we use is different than the language that Paul uses, but really what he is describing is a community following Jesus. Transformed by the grace of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Paul also alludes to the danger facing those early Christians, a danger that we face as well. The danger is instead conforming. Instead of being transformed into God's new creation through the power of the gospel, the danger is that we conform to the pattern of this world. That we take our cues, our values, our worldview from the fallen world around us. That what the world around us sees as important defines what we value as important. The image I like to use in talking about the danger of conforming to the pattern of this world instead of being transformed by the grace of God is a very Lutheran image. It is a bowl of Jell-O. When you make a bowl of Jell-O, what shape does the Jell-O take? The shape of whatever bowl you pour it into. Don't be like a bowl of Jell-O. Don't be shaped by the container, the world around you. Instead, be transformed by the grace of God. Let God's Spirit shape you into the person that God has made you to be. Paul, in our lesson, goes on to develop this notion of being transformed. He emphasizes that you are transformed for service. Listen today to the Apostle Paul as he invites you to be part of that greater story of God, God's greater plan for your life, as you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to him. Paul points in our lesson to various gifts given by God, gifts given to benefit others. Gifts such as teaching, service, leadership, mercy, and several others, and undoubtedly more in his mind that he did not list, all to help us think about how God has gifted us that we may offer those gifts sacrificially in service to others. Paul invites you to see how earth is crammed with heaven, how God is at work now in your life to use you and transform you by his grace, by the renewal of your mind into one gifted by God to serve him and to serve others. As Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2, you are God's workmanship. You are uniquely created by God to do the good works which God has already prepared in advance for you to do. These good works may be profound and far-reaching. Very often, they are simple and humble. Being a good steward of God's creation. Faithfully doing your job, giving an honest day's labor for an honest day's pay. Caring for others. Taking care of your family. Passing on your faith in Christ to your children and your grandchildren. Honoring your aging parents by caring for them and seeking to meet their needs. To live in God's mercy, to be transformed, means recognizing how God is at work in your life in simple ways. God transforms us for service. There is a monument east of London that looks like this. It's also on the front of the bulletin this morning. It is located at a place called Three Mills Green. It commemorates a terrible tragedy. Many, many years ago, a man was working in a deep well when he began to be overcome by fumes in the bottom of the well. He called out for help, and another worker went down to try to rescue him. And then another went down as well, and they tried to form human hands clasped together, a human chain to rescue the first man. Tragically, all of those workers died in that well. To remember these men and their self-sacrificing love, this worker's monument, this memorial, was erected and stands to this day. Hands clasped together in self-sacrificing service. If you were to go to London, it would be quite easy to miss this memorial. There are a lot more well-known places to visit. It's not one of the top tourist destinations, to be sure. Thousands upon thousands see Big Ben, Buckingham Palace, the changing of the guard. Yet in East London, this monument stands humbly, sustaining the memory of ordinary people who offered their lives in service to another. This place does not draw big crowds, nor is it one of the popular tour spots. But it does remind us how God often works. He works through the lives of ordinary people, transformed by His grace, who offer themselves as living sacrifices to Him. God, through the Apostle Paul, invites you again this morning, by the mercies of God, not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the grace of God, transformed for service, to live by giving instead of by gaining, to live as Christ, to live as a community following Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We join together in singing our hymn of the day.